Thank you for downloading the Broadmead Community Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy it.
So last week we talked about embracing the new. And that was a kind of a bit of a prequel to this series, which is called Here I Am. And over this month and next month, we're going to look at Old Testament characters who, when God called them, said, "Here I am," who made themselves available to God. And then we're going to look at what happened after that and what lessons can we learn. How do we see that in our lives today? And so we're going to start with Moses today. I don't know about you, but can life sometimes feel a little bit mundane? It's another day, it's another week, another year flies by, and the older you get, the quicker the years seem to fly by. The same routine, the same issues, the same people, the same frustrations. It's the same, it's the same, it's the same. Or if life feels like it passed you by, if you look back in your 20s, you had all those dreams, all those things you were going to do, all those places you were going to travel. Richard Boyd had a t-shirt on yesterday that said, it was a world map. He said, "I haven't been to all these places yet, but they're on the list." Sometimes we can feel like that, and then we have all these dreams, but over time, you acquire stuff, don't you? Relationships and family and mortgage and a house and a garden that needs mowing and cars that need servicing and responsibilities. And before you know it, your 20s seem like such a distance away. Or maybe you feel like you never did do it. You never did any of that stuff on your list. You were going to go on that trip, that short-term mission. You were going to set up that project. You were going to help in that community. But you never did because it was never the right time. Or you were always going to do it when you sorted this out. Or you were always going to do it when this was in place. Or maybe you had the opportunity and you missed it, because you didn't go for it. And now you're living with regret. The one that got away. We so wanted to, but what if it doesn't work out? What if I take this risk and it doesn't work out? Or what if I couldn't cope? Or what if I got it wrong and I messed up? Or what if I wasn't good enough? Or what if it really wasn't God speaking? What if I lost everything? And so my question to you this morning is, are you living your best life? Are each and every one of you fulfilling your God-given destiny? Or did you give up on that dream because other things got in the way, or it was too much, or it was overwhelming, or it's too late, or you're too fearful? Or you just in that moment weren't able to trust God? If you have regrets about the stuff you did do, or about the stuff you didn't do, or the opportunities you didn't take, or you just feel overwhelmed at the moment by stuff that you've got on your plate, you are in the right place this morning. Because God's story in each and every one of your lives isn't finished yet. If you've got a pulse, and some of you need to check, God's story is not finished yet. There are still more chapters to go. And it could be that the best is yet to come. And it could be this morning that God is simply wanting you to recognize his voice. It could be that God is calling you into even greater obedience to Father God. And it could be also us knowing that God has all we need. We sang it earlier. He's got the whole world in his hands. One of my jobs here is to help you recognize how big your God is. I don't know if you saw the photographs this week from the satellite that has gone beyond what we've ever seen before. Your God is bigger than the whole universe. And he's got you and me in his hands. We have everything we need already in Jesus. So, let me introduce to you Moses. And many of you will know Moses, but just in case you're not sure, you need a reminder. Let's pick up the story. So, at the end of Genesis and at the beginning of Exodus, Joseph dies. And his generation dies with him. And the people have forgotten what Joseph had done for the Egyptians. But the Israelites are exceedingly fruitful. They're really good at making families. And the land becomes full of Israelites. And the new king, who knew nothing of Joseph and all that he had done, was concerned about the strength in numbers of the Israelites. And so he says to them, let's make them our slaves. And let's work them really, really hard so that at the end of the day, they can't come home and be fruitful. You get the picture. Okay. But that didn't work. For some reason, the Israelites can work all day and they're still incredibly fruitful. And so the midwives are instructed, when you help an Israelite lady give birth, you are to kill the boys. And the midwives make this incredible decision to disobey the king. They're brave. They didn't do that. And so then the instructions are that baby boys are to be thrown into the Nile. Can you imagine that? I've never carried a baby, but can you imagine carrying a baby for 9 months, knowing that once that baby is born, if it was a boy, you would have that baby snatched away from you and thrown into the river. So you have this whole Moses in the basket, and I reckon Moses' mum wished she had trademarked that name because she could have been away wealthy, because we're still using it today, aren't we? A Moses basket. And Moses is hidden in the bulrushes in the Nile. And the whole thing happens where the queen comes down and she sees this baby and she takes the baby into the palace. And very quickly, as you read on, in very short space of time, Moses becomes a man and he kills an Egyptian, and then he has to go on the run. And then when he's on the run, he rescues the local priest's daughters, all seven of them, and he marries one of them. And we don't know whether he lined them up in some kind of beauty parade and decided which of the seven he was going to choose. But anyway, he marries one of them. And then the local priest says, you can also have a job here. And so he gets a job working for his father-in-law, looking after the sheep. And you might say, wow, what a life Moses has led. I mean, he's nearly murdered as a baby. He's in a basket floating in the Nile, becomes the prince of Egypt, and you've all seen the amazing cartoon, so he knows what happened there. And then he kills someone, then he marries, and now he's looking after sheep. What a life! What an amazing life! But all of that, incredibly, is a prequel to the main event, because we're only in chapter 3 of Exodus, which is the story of Moses, and this is where it gets really exciting. So if you have your Bibles with you, or if you've got your phones, turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to pick it up at verse 1. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far sides of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. So, this was Moses doing his day-to-day stuff. This was him doing his day job. He was looking after the sheep, making sure that they were safe, making sure they had enough grass to eat, making sure they had enough water to drink. This was Moses going around his everyday stuff. It wasn't a special holy day. He wasn't on some kind of spiritual silent retreat. He's just his everyday stuff. In fact, he probably wasn't even praying. He was probably doing the Times crossword or whatever he was doing on his break from looking after the sheep. And I just want to pause there and remind us all that so often God comes to us in the everyday stuff. In our work, in our homes, in our community, in our schools, wherever we are, in our ordinary lives. I believe that God wants us to be open to him speaking in the everyday, ordinary, going around life. But in this ordinary moment was this extraordinary happenings. And I believe that God will bring extraordinary out of the ordinary in your lives if you're open to it and if your eyes are alert to God moving. And this is the running theme throughout this story, the ordinary and the extraordinary. Let's keep reading. Verse 2. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within the bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush did not burn up. And John Walsh was telling me yesterday on his way to the performance that he was walking past Bradlaugh Fields and there was a burning bush. And I did say to him, did you go and check that it wasn't God speaking to you? And he said, no, he phoned the fire department. And quite right. But we know, don't we, that at the moment there have been a few bushfires across the country and certainly across Europe. And I'm sure that a bushfire in the heat of that area was not unusual. But what was extraordinary was that the bush was on fire, but it did not burn up. And so Moses is intrigued. He goes over and sees this strange sight. Why is the bush not burning? A bush burning is ordinary. A bush burning but not burning up is extraordinary. And so Moses wants to know more. Verse 4. When the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look, God called to him from within the bushes, within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandal, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Now we're getting into the super extraordinary. A voice calling his name from within the bush. See, at this moment, we have no idea what Moses' relationship with God was like at that moment. We know that his sister looked after him in the palace, and so maybe his sister would have taught him of the God of Abraham and Isaac of Jacob. We don't know. But he hears a voice calling his name, and God introduces himself by his reputation, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I am the God of your father. And then we read on from verse 7. And the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians and bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. God says, I have heard the cries of my people. And I have a rescue plan. And just on a sidebar here as a reminder, God hears your cries. He is not turned away. He is not deaf. He hears your cries. They do not go unheard, and there is always a rescue plan. And Moses, I imagine, hears, it's going to be a rescue plan. God's going to rescue my people. And I imagine that Moses is thinking something like what we see in the Marvel films. This is going to be spectacular. And I wonder in his head if he's going, what's your plan, God? Rockets, fighting angels, shock and awe, carpet bombing. Are you going to send in Ark Mark II to rescue the Israelites? Is it going to be smiting? What's your weapon of choice for these Egyptians? Ask Moses. And God says, you are. Now go, Moses. I'm sending you. You are it. You are the rescue plan. You are plan A. There is no plan B. It's you. And now we have a problem. In fact, I think Moses is thinking, this is way, way, way too extraordinary, because I am so very ordinary. And so we have this series of interactions between Moses and God. Moses gives loads of reasons why not, and God gives loads of reasons why. And it's really following this pattern of Moses saying, I'm ordinary, and God says, yes, but with me it's extraordinary. Verse 11, I am no one, says Moses. Verse 12, God says, I am with you. Verse 13, Moses says, yes, but who are you? He's not sure. Who is this person speaking to me? And God says, I am who I am. And then Moses says, but what if they don't believe me or listen to me, or they think I've gone completely bonkers because I'm saying a bush spoke to me in the desert? And God says to Moses, what do you have in your hand? And he gets him to throw that staff to the ground, and it becomes a snake. And he gets him to pick up the snake, and it becomes a staff. And then he says, put your hand in your coat and pull it out. And the hand is full of disease. He says, put your hand back in your coat, and pulls it out, and it's gone completely. God is showing his extraordinary authority and power in Moses' life. But Moses is not done yet. He goes on, but I'm not good at this stuff. I'm not good at this stuff. And God says, look, this is who you are dealing with. Let's read that. Chapter 4, verse 11. The Lord said, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. In other words, God is saying, Moses, I'm not sending you on your own. You have everything you need. I will help you. I will teach you. Did I not make you be able to speak? But Moses is still not out of excuses. And in verse 13 of chapter 4, he says, pardon your servant, Lord. I wonder if he's backing off a little bit here. Pardon your servant, Lord. But please send someone else. And God's anger burns against Moses. It's not only the bush that's burning at this moment. And he says, I'll send Aaron to speak, his brother, speak for you. And he reminds him again, this is verse 14 to 17, I will help you and teach you. And so Moses goes back and he goes and sees the Pharaoh, and he's bold, and he asks Pharaoh, let my people go. And eventually Moses leads the people out of Egypt. An ordinary man who didn't have a great history. In fact, he had skeletons in his closet. An ordinary man who became extraordinary and did extraordinary things through God. But before we say too quickly, why doesn't Moses just trust God? Why so many doubts and excuses? Let's be honest. Isn't he just like us? You see, God has a plan, a purpose, a destiny for each one of us. And yet so often we can respond like Moses. Is that really you talking, God? Are you really asking this of me? Or we say, I'm a no one, a nothing. You can't mean little old me, I'm too ordinary. Or we may say, what if it goes wrong? What if they don't believe me? What if they don't listen to me? What if I mess up? Or what if I'm not good enough or not good at that stuff? Or I don't have the skills necessary. And when all else fails and God answers all those questions, we then go into excuse mode. And we might even say, no, God, please, ask someone else. But let me assure you, God has heard them all. And as he did with Moses, when there is a calling, when there is a calling on your life, God will give you everything you need. God doesn't accept Moses' excuses, and he won't accept ours. And when God speaks and reveals his plans and his purpose, his destiny for us, and how he wants to use us, and how the good news of Jesus is going to be revealed through us, God also says to us, I am with you. I am who I am. I'm Yahweh, Lord God. He also says to us, what do you have in your hands? Like he said to Moses, what do you have in your hands? Your skills, your talents, your gifts, your abilities. Because I'm going to use those. I've given you those for a purpose. And when you mix your skills and your talents, your gifts and your abilities with my spirit, with the power and authority that comes from Jesus, then you will turn the ordinary into the extraordinary. But God doesn't leave it there. He said, I will help you and teach you. You have everything you need already to follow the call on your life and to see God turn the ordinary into the extraordinary. So just as we close, go back to Moses and jump forward many decades and turn to me to Deuteronomy 34. Verse 7, which is a few hundred pages to the right. We read this. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses on the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. So extraordinary was Moses' life. So changed was it at that moment when he heard God in the burning bush. So extraordinary was a man who said, I am ordinary, but with God I am extraordinary. A man who trusted God to go to the Pharaohs, to go back to Pharaoh, go back to where he was wanted for murder, to go back and lead the people and lead them in the desert for all those times and all the problems that that had. So much so that when he died, they had 30 days of mourning. His life had meant something. Because he had trusted God, and the people mourned for 30 days. And so as we come into land this morning, Let me ask you this. What is your burning bush moment? What is God saying to you? And are you listening? Are you hearing God? Are you taking steps towards God to lean in, to discover what he's saying to you at the moment? Or are you doubting the voice of God, just like Moses did for a while? Or are you avoiding? Or are you tempted like Moses just to be full of excuses? What is your burning bush moment? What is Father God speaking over you at this time? What is he calling you into? How does he want you to offer your ordinary life so that he can take it with all that he has, all that he's planted in you by his Spirit, and turn it into something extraordinary? Let's pray.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not check us out on all social media platforms or visit broadmead.org.uk. We'll be right back.